It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota leads this series 2-1. Game 4, Saturday, 1 p.m. Puck drop, 12 p.m. pregame show. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bring in the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And, you know, identical score to game number 2 between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Minnesota Wild. You and Gary were talking about it. I think it makes a lot of sense. First period, very similar in a lot of ways to the first period in game number 2. Seemed like the Golden Knights pulled themselves out of it a little bit quicker, but then they were just never able to close the gap on Minnesota, who plays so well protecting a lead.
Right, that's it. There are all sorts of numbers with or without their star players, Ryan, that this team plays well with a lead. And the Knights have not managed to get the first goal in either loss. Game one, of course, you know, they did. Tomas Hertl scored, and though it was 1-1, at the end of one, the Knights never fell behind in the game. It was 2-1 after two in game one, and the Knights built upon the lead in the third period and secured a 4-2 win with that empty net power play goal with a tenth of a second to go. Meanwhile, not only has Minnesota scored first in the next couple of games, they've taken multi-goal leads in the first period. In game two, of course, they got Boldy and Foligno. Those goals were separated by a minute and a half. They led 3-0 after one, 4-0 early in the second. Well, today, it wasn't quite as close together for the two goals, but not much further apart. Kaprizov at 3:13 and Rossi at 6:51. In other words, by about the halfway mark of the first period in both games, 2 and 3, that is, Vegas was in a multi-goal deficit. So you're playing from behind, and you're feeling like things aren't really going your way based on, you know, some of the calls, the, you know, missed icing, you know, all these things. You get a bounce here or there, which is not to say that the Knights are not the ones culpable here. I'm not trying to shift blame, but I'm trying to get inside the minds of where some of these guys are coming from in the come-from-behind effort. The other element of today's game, Ryan, Bruce Cassidy leaned hard on the top line in terms of minutes, especially early in the contest. You know, that's something that Minnesota has to do because just they're not as deep as the Golden Knights. Jack Eichel had played roughly 15 minutes through two periods, and he had averaged just about 16 or so minutes the first couple of games. He finished 24-44. Jack Eichel and Mark Stone were the top two in minutes for the Golden Knights. That never happens. Of course, you had four power plays today, so that might skew things a little bit. And they're both on the penalty kill, and so that skews things a little bit. There were eight power plays in this game. But the point is, typically, when things are going well for the Knights, they're going to have their defensemen with more minutes than anybody. But you can see Bruce Cassidy is trying to get Eichel and Stone going. Because when one goes in for those guys, you figure, okay, the dam could break. It just has not happened. I mean, Stone has now got 11 games without a goal. I mean, Jack Eichel hasn't had an assist since March. I mean, and some of this is kind of head-scratching stuff. It's not to say that they're, you know, not playing well. It just is not working for them right now. So you lean on those guys and hope that it goes their way. You lean on them early, so then you wonder, are they quite as effective late in games? Well, they're world-class athletes, and this is the playoffs, so you'd like to think so. What would they be like if the game were to go to overtime, etc.? So it's a strategy, and we'll see how the strategy goes forward. But clearly, the strategy to try to push those top-line guys with extra minutes did not result in the offense they might have hoped for.
Now, you went through the numbers for Stone and Eichel, and obviously no points yet for either one of those guys in this series. Do you get to a position, do you get to a point, if you're Bruce Cassidy, where you split Stone and Eichel up, or is this just a matter of two players? We know the chemistry is there. They just got to get one to go their way.
You know they're going to be together on the power play.
Yeah.
So, like that, and although the Golden Knights are guaranteed a power play in every game, as we know, but they did get four today. You know that there is so much success and confidence in the power play that can often be the source of getting them going. I do wonder if, you know, it's the blessing and curse of having a deep team. players on teams that are not deep, but if you're a star, you double shift. More touches can get you more into the game, get you going. The Knights do not double shift players. They might double shift a line here or there depending on the situation, as I just touched on for the top guys for Vegas. But you're not going to start playing Jack Eichel on two different lines just for the sake of getting him going. So do you split up Eichel and Stone? Well, there was an idea coming into the season that they would not be together, but they were so good. Remember, Carlson was unavailable early in the season, had missed training camp and, the first handful of games of the season. So those guys were playing together, and they were as hot as anybody. So there might have been an initial plan to not have Eichel and Stone together, but so much of the year they have been together. I wonder if it's, is it a sign of panic if you break them up, or is it a sign of, a chess move to outthink Minnesota? Or, do you save that for an in-game adjustment? Do you save it for a potential game five? I don't know. I think that there are wrinkles that Bruce Cassidy has used throughout the season where you might surprise the other team by juggling things in a creative way. Maybe you don't start by breaking up the current line configuration, but maybe in a scenario or two, you surprise the other team and you do change something. I have no idea, but I wonder if Bruce might reveal some of his ideas. Time will tell, but we very well, Ryan, might have to wait until Saturday.
All right, Dan, last one for you. Akira Schmid gets into game action, plays the third period. Aiden Hill pulled after two periods. Do you get the sense that we see Schmid on Saturday?
I don't know. They set the table for that, allowing Schmid to play the third period, getting him some playoff hockey reps. And we went through all the numbers. He has playoff experience. But, that was 2 years ago. It was with a different organization. He's 24, about to turn 25. Of course, 2 years ago, he was 22, about to turn 23. But he has played well for the Golden Knights in very small samples, three starts and 2-0-1. The one game he didn't win might have been the best performance of those three starts for him. There's a thought there at the same time. If I'm thinking about Aiden Hill, so rarely is he giving up four goals in consecutive games, and even more rare that he would have three consecutive not coming through. And he only played 40 minutes today, of course. So at this point, I would guess that Hill starts game four, but it won't surprise me if Akira Schmid does get the start. I really do not feel all that strongly either way, but if I had to pick, my thinking is that that Hill would start game four.
All right. Great stuff, as always, tonight on The Call, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Saturday.
Thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 5-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota leads this opening round series 2-1 with Game 4 on Saturday, 1 o'clock puck drop, 12 p.m. pregame show, as the Golden Knights look to even the series and get the split in Minnesota. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota takes a 2-1 series lead in this best-of-seven opening round matchup of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Golden Knights healthy, fully healthy in terms of who is or isn't available for this opening round matchup. I do wonder, as we kind of look ahead to game four, we've got three games now for the Vegas Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild. I do wonder if there are lineup changes. Now, I have been very adamant that I've liked Victor Olofsson's game for the most part. But at the same time, you've got Tanner Pearson waiting in the wings. He has not played yet in this series. Stanley Cup champion, maybe for a different wrinkle, you make a change there. I do wonder if there's anything else, and I'll just kind of come out and say it here. I don't think Akira Schmid starts in game four. I'm willing to be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. Let's hear from Bruce Cassidy.
Most of the game, guys got the pucks in deep, cycled around, got sustained ozone pressure, but they continued to take away the middle. Just what has been the challenge of getting inside?
Well, it's going to be a challenge, as it is for them. It's playoff hockey, so to your question, I thought as we went along, we did a better job. No issues with that. Got to finish some of those plays, obviously. I guess where I'd say we need to be better is taking away the goalie's eyes once you do get your action at the net. So, generate a rebound chance or two, right? We had some looks, but I don't think that was the issue tonight. I liked our engagement. Ozone, we were similar to the second half of the game the other night, I thought, at times where we could get some sustained pressure. You're not going to do that every night against good defensive teams, but especially second period, got ourselves back in the game. It just got away from us there at the end with some unfortunate circumstances, and that's hockey some nights.
And the decision to pull Hill for Schmid, what went into that?
Just getting Schmid some work. A little bit is we're comfortable with Schmid. Late game, we play Saturday at 3 o'clock, so there's no morning skate. And if we're going to skate tomorrow, I think Hilly would be the first to admit he needs a good practice, sort of regain his footing and feel good about his game. So there's a little bit of that that goes involved. And having said that, we felt we could win with either guy. You know, Hill's ahead of Schmid, but Schmid's played well for us and went in and played well. So we weren't giving up on the game. What we were doing is, you know, making a swish, maybe get a spark, and there was other things that went into it. And Schmid did his job. He stopped every puck in there, and good for him.
Yeah. Did the pushback you wanted in this game take too long for you to finally get there?
No, listen, they started better than us. We kind of expected that, their first home playoff game in a bit, so you got to counter that. And part of that is we end up chasing the game, Ken. We take it too many men on the ice. Like, we jump for the wrong guy, so that's on all of us. We've been pretty good at that. I think it's probably our third all year. Bad timing tonight on that one. You know, and they convert from distance, right? Like, things are going well. I mean, that puck had eyes from 50 feet. It's not going in every night, and it found a way. Good player finding a shooting lane. We got to get a block there or save to get through that penalty. Then we get another one. So we don't have any, you know, we're killing. We're not gaining any momentum. So that didn't help us either. So, and then all of a sudden you're down 2-0 and you're chasing it. So eventually we did get to it, but we could have started better for sure. And that's why we got ourselves in penalty trouble early, and that's always good for the other team to get some touches and they get going and you're not using your bench. So, you know, eventually you got to work your way out of that, and we did.
Were the circumstances you're talking about the icing, and did you get an explanation on why that
wasn't? He blew the call. It's that simple. We're going to move on. There's nothing we can do about it now. We got to make a play anyway. Whether you can't, you got to play hockey. And it was a breakout below the goal line. The second goal was a breakout below the goal line. Our goaltender rimmed a puck, and we didn't communicate there. It's in our net. We have to have better coverage, but there's two goals below the goal line. So, yeah, I mean, we were going pretty good. They blow a call. They take advantage of it. Good for them. And then the fourth one, I mean, that goal happens once a year. That happened tonight. Goes in off his stomach. And good for them again. Get a puck to the net. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, you're going into the room as a team and you're like, we're down 4-1 after that period. Like, what the hell just happened? But that's hockey some nights. You got to regroup and create your own breaks. They did, took advantage of them. We got to make sure we do the in game four.
Bruce, they got some saves, but what more would you have liked to see on the power play?
A second chances. I thought we got some good looks, but we didn't recover pucks to break them down again and tire them out. We missed we didn't execute on a couple. There was a backdoor play to Hurdle we scored on all year. We just missed it. When we did attack the net, I don't think, like, have shots from the elbow. Stoney wiped across. What we've been good at this year is winning that puck back, and then now you've got a tired team and a little bit out of position. So we got a couple of good looks. Jack got a good one-timer. Hurdle got his bumper shot. Pav, like I said, from the elbow, a few one-timers from the top, but we didn't recover and break them down. That's what I'd like to see better. Entries, they're stiff at the blue line. It's one thing they do. If you get in there clean, we had a great look from Stoney. It might have been 6-on-4, but that was almost irrelevant because the same breakout applies. But if you're going to get through there, then you should attack the net. So we got a good look, but I thought we could have been cleaner on our entries as well. So a little more time in the zone would have benefited us.
And two more, Joe, and back to Danny.
Bruce, you mentioned the other day Kaprizov being a second, third, fourth effort kind of guy. Have you seen something similar with Matt Boldy, or what kind of challenges you've seen with kind of the way he's playing?
Yeah, you know, listen, I think he got some confidence from Four Nation is what I would guess. You guys know him much better than I do. Sure looks that way. He's got a world-class player back beside him. That helps. That's nice when a guy gets you the puck, like that breakaway pass the other night. Like, that's special. So, but that's how pairs work sometimes, and they got the guy in the middle that does a lot of the dirty work. So it's a good combination of players there for that line. And we've got to find a way to slow them down. But, again, the goal Boldy scored was, you know, was on our stick, right? Similar to game two where we got to manage pucks better. He took it to the net and buried it. That's, you know, and he took it inside. And he took it inside the other night when he stuffed one. So he's going to the net, going to the dirty areas. That's good for him. That's what you got to do to score, I think, this time of year. Give him credit for doing that.
Last one.
In terms of the physicality, do you feel like that they started slow the Wild down a little bit, 42 hits, I think 11 from Barbashev tonight? Think that kind
of... Well, we were more physical, and what happens when the other team has the puck, you are, some of those hits, they're great, but it means the other team has the puck, and that's probably what happened the first period a little bit until we got going. Right, it happened in our building the other night, there was a lot of hits, but we had the puck a lot after the first period, so you're going to get hit when you have it. I thought we were more physically engaged than we have been. Not atypical in a series that, you know, as each game goes and you start to build a little bit of animosity towards each other. We needed to do that more of tonight, and I thought we did. Whether it has an effect in game four, in game five down the road, we'll see. That's why you're continuing to do it a little bit, that you hope that you get the benefits in the third period of said game or down the road. So, it's part of our game, and I think we need it to be contagious, to be effective, to get pucks back. They don't give you a lot. They've managed it well, so that's one way to get pucks back, is be physical and force them to do things quicker than they'd like, if it's in their back.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 5-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild. We're back with highlights next on the VGK postgame show, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
VGK's official watch party for Saturday's Game 4 will be held at Lee's Family Forum in Henderson. Come out for giveaways, visits from the VGK cast, a chance to win tickets to a future VGK game, and a special on Bud Light drafts that Saturday at Lee's Family Forum. It's the VGK postgame show. Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota leads this seven-game series, 2-1. Game 4 on Saturday, 1 o'clock in Minnesota. Taking a look at the highlights in this game, we go back to the first period. The Wild opened the scoring on an early power play goal from Kirill Kaprizov.
Kaprizov, the lefty, motors behind, emerges on the right side, skating in a giant circle. Now he shoots and scores! Minnesota takes a 1-0 lead, a power play goal, 3 minutes into the game.
Power play goal, his third of the series. Kirill Kaprizov from Zeev Buyum and Matt Boldy. 3:13 of the first period made it 1-0 Minnesota. The Wild extended the lead just over 3 minutes later when a failed zone exit led to Marco Rossi's first of the series.
And it's worked through center by Minnesota, dump in by Brazo. Hill plays it behind his net, looking to the far boards. Howden lands a check. Puck comes in front. Score! Marco Rossi makes it 2-0 Minnesota.
Marco Rossi from Yakov Trenyan and Justin Brazo 6:51 of the first period, made it 2-0 Minnesota. However, the Golden Knights were able to stop the bleeding when Alex Pietrangelo unloaded a rocket from the point.
Pietrangelo turns up ice, leaves it for Hanifin, who had the first Vegas goal of game two. Pietrangelo shoots, he scores! Alex Pietrangelo, his third point of the series. And Vegas is on the board, trailing 2-1 with 9:12 to play in the first period.
Alex Pietrangelo from Noah Hanifin, 10:48 of the first period, made it 2-1 Minnesota. So we'd head to the second period, and midway through that second period, the Wild restored their two-goal lead after Matt Boldy stole the puck behind the Golden Knights net to score his fourth goal of the series.
Minnesota clears after a D-zone faceoff. Icing waved off. Pietrangelo reached, couldn't grab it, though. Hanifin back. Oh, it's a steal for Boldy. He scores! 3-1 Minnesota.
Matt Boldy, unassisted, 11:05 of the second period, made it 3-1 Minnesota. Then the Wild would get a late power play opportunity, and Kirill Kaprizov beat the buzzer for his second power play goal of the game.
Sharp angle shot, tried to bank it in off of Hill, didn't work. 2 seconds, right wing shot, score! Deflection in front, it will count. With no time showing on the clock, it trickled in with the clock still running. 4-1 Minnesota, a power play goal. Kaprizov in the blue ice.
Power play goal for Kirill Kaprizov from Ryan Hartman and Marco Rossi. 19:58 of the second period made it 4-1 Minnesota. So the Wild would take that three-goal lead into the third period, but the Golden Knights made it a two-goal game with just over 8 minutes left in regulation on Riley Smith's shorthanded goal.
Vegas gets control of the puck, and out they come shorthanded. Smith to Carlson, left wing, back to Smith, to the goal, he scores! Riley Smith shorthanded, and the Knights are within two. Another shorthanded breakaway for Carlson and Smith.
Riley Smith from William Carlson, 11:34 in the third period, made it 4-2 Minnesota. However, the Golden Knights would get a power play opportunity late in the third period. They'd pull Akira Schmid for the extra attacker to make it 6-on-4, and Marcus Foligno iced the game with a shorthanded empty net goal.
Another clear goes down. This will be wide of the empty net, but Foligno gets it and scores! Foligno takes the carom and puts it into an empty net. An empty net shorthanded goal with 1:33 to go in the third period in game three.
Marcus Foligno, empty net, shorthanded goal, unassisted, 18:27 in the third period, made it 5-2 Minnesota, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
5 seconds to go, and the crowd to its feet in St. Paul. The Wild take a 2-1 series lead. Final score in game three, Minnesota 5, Vegas 2.
5-2 the final. The Minnesota Wild defeat the Vegas Golden Knights to take a 2-1 series lead in this opening round matchup. Game 4 will go Saturday, 1 p.m. Puck drop in that one, 12 p.m. pregame show. Take a break, wrap it up next on the VGK postgame show presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Stay on top of the VGK's chase for the Stanley Cup with the team's official mobile app, available now for Apple and Android devices. Throughout the playoffs, app users will have opportunities to win tickets to select home games, so don't miss out. Download it today. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-2 to the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota, 2-1 series lead, game 4, Saturday. 1 o'clock puck drop, 12 o'clock pregame show. I know the instant reaction, and based on the text line, the instant reaction is somewhat over the top and defeatist to a certain degree. It's first team to 4 wins, right? Like, that's what you need to do. And even though Minnesota's halfway there, they're not all the way there. Series ebb, there's an ebb and flow to series that you see all the time. It has not been a strong two-game stretch for the Golden Knights, but the good news is they can erase that with a strong performance on Saturday. when you go on the road, doesn't matter where you are in the series, you want the split. And the Golden Knights can get the split in Game 4 on Saturday if they put together a strong 60 minutes and if they're able to correct some of the mistakes that they have had over the last 2 years. That's the challenge. We all know what it's going to look like and what they mean when they say stop the turnovers, limit turnovers, stop giving them easy offense. But going out and doing it, it's not as easy as simply understanding and recognizing it needs to be done. So we'll see how the Golden Knights respond going into Game 4. And that'll give us a good idea of what this series really is and how close these two teams really are. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls. That's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final. Minnesota defeats Vegas. 2-1 series lead for the Minnesota Wild. Game 4 Saturday, 1 o'clock. 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. That's the number here. Love to hear from you. If you're a Golden Knights fan, understanding where this series is right now, how are you feeling? Pick up the phone, dial the number. I want to hear from you. Concerns, questions, comments, hot takes, doesn't matter. Whatever direction you want to go, we will go there after a 5-2 loss to the Minnesota Wild, where some of the issues that plagued the Golden Knights in game number 2 showed up once again in game number 3. Notably, turnovers that led directly to offense. I mean, that's kind of the story of the last two games. Golden Knights have had pucks on their stick in the defensive zone, and turnovers have directly resulted in goals against. And, you know, to me, we talked about how important puck management was going to be in this series. Maybe the bigger story is the Minnesota Wild are a great defensive team. They have been all year, with or without Kaprizov in the lineup. I think for Vegas, especially going into Game 4, playing with a lead is paramount. It's massively important because Minnesota has proven over the last two games their ability to shut the door when they have a lead. They're comfortable in that spot. They make it really hard to get offense. So that might be a key for the Golden Knights moving forward. What say you? What do you think the Golden Knights need to change? 702-876-1340. We go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, I'm going to leave the panic police alone tonight. They can have their moment on Twitter and the text line or whatever they do. But if it continues this way, I'll have some strong opinions later on in the week. And then, so that we'll save it for that. What I want to get across right now is that I rarely disagree with Gary Lawless, almost never. But he did espouse that maybe we would bench Adin Hill on Saturday. I don't think that for a second. Do you?
I mean, I went as far as to say I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, we know what the pinnacle of Adin Hill is. He's a netminder capable of winning a Stanley Cup. And I understand that Akira Schmid came in down the stretch and played three really solid games for the Golden Knights. He was 2-0-1. He was instrumental in helping them make the last week of the regular season pretty stress-free, get a little bit of rest for some players. But we're talking about a three-game sample size with the organization. I know what he did in the postseason with the New Jersey Devils. I know that he won a series. I know he had shutouts in those series. But we're talking about Adin Hill, who is just 2 years removed from winning a Stanley Cup. To me, I love what Schmid did. He came in. He was solid. He gave you what you needed in this game. And if that's just a little bit of rest for Adin Hill to kind of hit the reset button, great. But I don't think Akira Schmid starts on Saturday.
I like that he's our backup. I really do. And I think that will always be the case moving forward after July 1. I believe that that decision is now a lot easier to make. We'll see. But I also want to say that I congratulate Coach Cassidy and whoever else made the decision to call timeout with 12:44 to go in the game. It's rare that a coach uses their timeout that early. I'm glad he did. I thought it was appropriate. It could have changed the game. Who knows? But I think that was the right way to go in that particular case. What I don't agree with is when you stop playing because you're angry about a non-call. And I did see that when the icing call didn't get played and didn't get called.
I disagree. Who stopped playing?
I thought we relaxed just a hair and that allowed them to get in position to score the goal. I mean, I may be wrong there.
I don't believe Noah Hanifin stopped playing.
Okay.
He went back. He made a play on the puck. I didn't see him slow up. I didn't see him change his angle or change his trajectory. I don't think Noah Hanifin stopped playing. I think that it should have been icing, but I don't think that he stopped playing.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put that to bed. Just one other thing, and that is anybody who's a Knights fan must have a really short memory if they're complaining tonight, because we had the series won last year. We won the first two in Dallas. We were about to go into overtime in Game 3 at home. I wonder how many people could have been polled at that moment between the overtime and the extra periods and would have said, oh, we're never going to win this series. Just try to remember that, okay? That's all I'm going to say to them for tonight.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. 702-876-1340. Goaltending, no surprise, is a topic of conversation on the show and in the text line. So I'd love to hear from you. I've made my stance pretty clear. I think Adin Hill starts game four. If you disagree with me, call. Let me know who you would start and why. Who you would start and why in game number four. We have lines open right now, 702-876-1340. Go out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So I would still start Hill. I was at the last game, so the last home game, and then watching tonight again. It's just a lot of it is coming from just an inability to clear the zone or like bad turnovers. And like, as the goalie, you can only do so much, right? Yes, you want him to make a few more saves, but you cannot keep putting him in situations like that.
Yeah, I mean, you go through the goals today, long range wrist shot from Kaprizov that goes through about seven different players before beating Adin Hill. You don't see that happen very often. The Boldy goal is the direct result of a turnover. Same thing with the Marco Rossi goal, but, you know, Aiden's the one playing the puck, trying to rim it up the boards, and it gets picked off. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on right now, I think, for the Golden Knights, but I think you hit the nail on the head. When they have the puck on their stick in the defensive zone, there needs to be more assuredness with the plays that they are making or an ability to get pucks out of danger. And what's happening is they're turning those pucks over, and then it's easy offense for Minnesota. We talked about it in the pregame show coming into this one. Out of game number two, you're trying to make it more difficult on Minnesota to score, and it just didn't happen in this game.
Yeah, I still have a ton of faith in this team. I don't I don't think that this game and the last game are really typical of what we see from the Knights. You know, just shake it off and come back. It's what you got to do, and I completely believe that they're going to be able to do it.
All right, good stuff, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340 is the number. Who would you start in game four? Aiden Hill or Akira Schmid? Again, I feel like I've laid out my argument here. Akira Schmid has come in and played well. Inside the organization, we're talking about three games. Three-game sample size versus Aiden Hill, what he has been able to do over the last couple of years, including coming off the bench and winning a Stanley Cup. Which would you choose if you're Bruce Cassidy going into Game 4 on Saturday? Pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break, it's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final of the Minnesota Wild defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Take a 2-1 series lead. Vegas looking to even things up and get the split in Minnesota in Game 4 on Saturday at 1 o'clock puck drop, 12 o'clock pregame show. We will be on the air, ready to go, get you set for Game 4. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340, topic of conversation because Aiden Hill was pulled after the second period and Akira Schmid came in to play the third period. Who are you starting? If you had the choice, who are you starting in Game 4? I've put my cards on the table. I'm going back to Aiden Hill. What say you? 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Marianne. Hey, Marianne, how you doing?
Hi, Ryan. I'm doing great. And Aiden Hill's our guy. I mean, you know, he plays better when our guys are playing better, but I don't know where, like, what happened to where Hurdle was there all the time and nothing is getting in by Hurdle. I mean, is it the line changes that, you know, kind of put that off? Because we haven't seen any of that. It doesn't seem like, you know, as far as us getting, you know, scoring opportunities and even like him playmaking it, you know, to Dorothea and all the other guys get a chance. But our fans need to step up or ship out because there's no reason. Positivity will get us there. And I don't feel any way that we're not going to win this. So I just wish all the other fans to get back on board no matter what happens. But he'll... more than the one that we need to have in there. And our other guys, when two of the goals in both games were open, you know, were because of us home, you know, pulling, you know, him and having six men. So really that's one goal less off of his game, but that's besides the point. We're just, and we're not getting like up and down the ice like, you know, we usually get to, you know, the quick transition. So whatever it has to do, whether it's put back all these lines the way they were, whatever, but we just need to get that back. And it can't go on like this forever, so we're going to win and win big on Saturday. So everybody just needs to get on board with positive thinking again. It's not right to give up on them because it's just crazy. It's only 2-1. You know, come on, you know. So will you be at CI again on Saturday?
Well, I'm sorry, what was that, Marianne? I was having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, I know. I was just going to ask if you were going to be at the TI again, broadcasting on Saturday.
Yep, TI for the broadcast on Saturday for Game 4. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll be here. This is our home base for the playoffs. TI, every away game. Yeah, I mean, positivity for sure. I think... again, in a series, there are going to be ebbs and flows. It's going to happen. You're not going to go through a playoff run without facing any adversity. And, you know, you go back to 2023. dropping game one to the Winnipeg Jets. That was adversity for that Golden Knights team. They had to come back. They had to right the ship, so to speak. And if you remember back to game number two, it wasn't all that different. Winnipeg had a sizable territorial edge in the first period of that game, and then the Golden Knights found it, and the rest was history. But again, it's you're not going to go through an entire run without facing some adversity, and it's all in how you kind of put it together. You got to be able to bounce back from games like this one. You have to be able to bounce back from, you know, a couple of games where the pockets of poor play outweigh heavily the pockets of really good play. And I think for the Golden Knights, I'm interested to see the line combinations, because I asked Dan Duva the question, and I think to myself out loud, Jack Eichel and Mark Stone together, we know that they can be dynamic. We know that they can be really good. They are capable of carrying offense, driving offense, putting the puck in the back of the net. We know that they can do that. But I do wonder if, in trying to spark the two of them, you let them drive their own lines. And what do I mean by that? Well, Jack's a playmaker. He's got a great shot, but he's a playmaker. Mark Stone is a playmaker. Again, he can score, he can shoot, but he is most notably going to be looking to make plays. And I just wonder if, in effort to balance things out, or just to kind of give each guy an opportunity to drive on his own line, I wonder if that's something you look at. We know coming into the season, and we talked about it with Dan Duva, that the Golden Knights were looking at Eichel and Stone apart. By virtue of injuries and trying to figure some things out in the early goings of the season, you put Barbashev with Eichel and Stone, and they were one of the best lines in hockey for half the season. So I know that it works. I know what it looks like when it's on. I wonder if you get away from that or you go to it at some point in the game, different combinations, Eichel away from Stone, and see if you can get each of those guys driving their own line. And if that can kind of get the Golden Knights a little bit more in terms of production, I'm expecting their power play, and I don't know that they're going to get another game in this series with four power play opportunities, but I imagine their power play will be better, can be better. It's time for the Golden Knights to respond in game four. That's really what's at stake here. That's what is on the line. You don't want to go down 3-1. Again, that's not insurmountable, but it is a hard road to climb if you're looking at it from that perspective. So for Vegas, got to find a way to even this series up in game number four, and that one will go on Saturday. We'll take a break and wrap it up next on the Extended Post Game Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final. The Vegas Golden Knights fall to the Minnesota Wilds. Minnesota leads this series 2-1. Game 4, Saturday, 1 o'clock, 12 p.m. pregame show. And for the Golden Knights, it's very simple. It's not a must win. You want to win. You'd like to win, but it's not a must-win in this series. However, you do not want to go down 3-1. For the Vegas Golden Knights, the mission when you go on the road in the postseason is very simple. Get the split. Earn the split. That's on the table. It is in front of the Vegas Golden Knights. They can still do that. They can still check that box and get that task done. They'll need to come with a really solid 60-minute effort in Game 4 against Minnesota. It's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Vanessa Alejos down here making sure everything sounds great. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio for keeping us on the air. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. until Saturday. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.